Leading up to the presidential poll on November the 6th, we would like to start a new short series aimed at providing some wider context for all the coverage of this race, which does begin to resemble a horse race call, I think you'd agree, with commentary skewed heavily to personalities or to another possibly less welcome strand of modern US political reporting, what was referred to recently in a fairly lacklustre review of Bob Woodward's latest book as his granular retelling of partisan gridlock and the daunting array of problems facing legislators in the US. In other words, a tendency to list the wood, not the trees. Well, that doesn't seem to be the emphasis of my next guest, the New York Times journalist Peter Baker. He's been writing thoughtfully about what, in his view, is possibly the starkest choice facing Americans in three decades and over acutely substantial issues for the nation. So to kick off our mini-series, Snapshots of the US 2012, we'd like to discuss this fundamental clash of philosophies with Peter, who's the White House correspondent for The Times, having been the Washington Post's bureau chief in Moscow and having reported from Afghanistan and Iraq. Welcome, Peter, to Saturday Extra.
Oh, thanks for having me. I appreciate that.
I suppose in a way that the vice presidential debate that we've just seen, in some ways, I'd like to get your thoughts on this, did flesh out those big competing philosophies about attitudes to government.
Oh, I really think it did. I think if you sort of if you tune out the commentary about whether Joe Biden laughed too much or interrupted too much, what you really had was a very, very fundamental divide in American politics today between left and right in their views of the role of government in society. Now, the differences between them aren't as stark as they make them sound on foreign policy, but when it comes to economics, when it comes to domestic policy, probably the divisions between this ticket are as stark as any since 1984 when Ronald Reagan and Walter Mondale faced off.
Yes, well, that's what attracted us about your writing on this, because I hadn't seen anyone else saying that. You think these major different approaches, are they being really talked about like this in the US? Is that coming through all the horse race calls?
Well, I think it is, sure. Some of it can be kind of dense and wonkish, but at its heart, what you're seeing is this clash between President Obama's sort of view of a sort of a communitarian society, a society when we're all in this together, as he puts it, a society in which government has an active and necessary role in trying to even out fairness and play a vigorous role in governing economics and making sure that things are on a fair level. And you then have this sort of Tea Party infused view of government as a force for ill, in effect, a force that gets in the way of American entrepreneurship, that gets in the way of individual liberty and freedom, and gets in the way of recovery from this this anemic economic situation we've had for more than 4 years.
One of the things we've been covering here in Saturday Extra is the financial mess, the inability of big banking, in a sense, to show any real remorse for all of its mess and the need for greater regulation. Now, I take it that Obama, and with his emphasis on government, would seek to do more on this score as a government, as broker of a new set of conventions. Has Romney said a great deal about this? I mean, with his view of a light touch and releasing the entrepreneurial spirits, has he acknowledged really that entrepreneurial spirits have been rather tarnished of late?
Well, he does a little bit, obviously, and he did say in the last week with President Obama that there is a role for regulation. He's not saying that government has to completely leave the arena, but I think what he is arguing is that businesses and individuals are hampered by an ever increasing set of rules and intrusions by government that sort of damper initiative and don't foster the kind of risk taking and capitalist experience that has built the country. Now, you know, this is a pretty important debate, and obviously Republicans and Democrats have been on opposite sides of it for a long time. But I don't think you've seen it expressed and as clearly defined as it is this year. Every other presidential race of recent generations, you've seen one or the other of the party nominees kind of pushing a little bit more toward the middle. You know, President Clinton, you know, talk about moving the Democrats more toward the center on welfare and crime, things like that. Even President Bush, as conservative as he's remembered for foreign policy, talked about compassionate conservatism, and he pushed for liberalizing immigration rules and expanding Medicare to cover drugs. So this is the first time I think you've got two candidates in quite a while who have pretty starkly different views about how this should work.
And is Romney doing as well as Reagan? Because certainly I would have thought Obama's doing better than Mondale.
Well, it's a little different, obviously. Of course, Reagan was the incumbent, and here we got Obama, the incumbent, so it's not an exact parallel. But, you know, remember in 1984, Walter Mondale made a big point of saying, look, President Reagan is going to raise your taxes, and so will I. The difference is that I'll admit it. The only way to get through a difficult fiscal situation. In effect, you have a similar dynamic here where President Obama is saying, you know, taxes are going to have to be part of the equation to fix a fiscal mess. He's not talking about across the board. He's saying he only wants to tax or increase taxes on the wealthiest of Americans, the top 2%. But it's, you know, you don't have that kind of admission very often in politics, and Governor Romney would like to style himself after President Reagan a little bit more, and he has a tax restructuring plan that has gotten a lot of attention and a lot of criticism, obviously, from the Democrats.
But intriguingly, for instance, in terms of modern entrepreneurialism, Mr. Romney pointed, as you make right, to the president's efforts to stimulate the growth of clean energy, which you would have thought everybody would essentially be in favour of, with $90 billion in taxpayer assistance, as an example of where government ought not be. I thought that was a quite interesting example, a bit of a risk myself for Romney to take. I wonder how you saw it.
No, I think it's a great example because, in fact, it does sort of clarify these different views of government. President Obama does say that this investment in clean energy development is a way of steering society in a direction that it ought to go, that the future is going to be in getting away from fossil fuels and cleaning up the climate as much as we can, even if he's not able to pass some sort of a climate change cap kind of system. And Governor Romney espouses the other point of view that it's not up to government to pick winners and losers. That the government shouldn't kind of come into a marketplace and say, here's how this marketplace ought to be run, and we're going to reward this company and penalize this one, in his view. And he makes the point that some of the companies that have benefited from the government, in his view, have political connections. That may be overstated in a lot of cases, but there have been obviously some questions raised about this. And just in general, if you have the government out there awarding grants and loans and so forth, there is inevitably going to raise questions about who gets these and why. So those are sort of, you know, the clean energy, as you say, is a great example of this very stark divide.
And the fact that these have been spelled out, and as you say, it was actually quite a heavy debate. It was quite intense in its own way. The reverse of the quick soundbite. Do you sense that it subtly changes the public American conversation?
Well, I think it does a little bit. I think the last week's presidential debate obviously changed the momentum of the horse race, certainly because of Governor Romney's perceived strength in the debate and President Obama's perceived lackluster performance. But if you get past that sort of more stylistic indication, you at least saw for the first time Governor Romney having a large stage in which to express his philosophy. It's the first time, you know, only about 20 million people or so watched his convention speech. 70 million people watched that debate. It's the largest audience either of them has had all year and possibly will have. So for the first time, you know, a large segment of the electorate here was listening to how he put it, how he explained things. Congressman Ryan expanded on that philosophy last night with his debate with Vice President Biden. In fact, those two were very stark, again, in their explication of their differences. So, you know, Americans are going to make judgments on lots of different things. You know, likability, we often talk about that. This, you know, there's this fight about
likability.
likability, sure, and you know, which one you'd rather have a beer with, which one you trust more, which one you feel connected to. And ironically, both presidential candidates are somewhat different characters, but lots of different factors come into play. But this is, you know, an election that's going to decide, or at least weigh in on this very, you know, profound difference of opinions about the way American society should go forward.
Thank you very much indeed for joining us.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.
Peter Baker, he's the New York Times White House correspondent, and he's also the author, along with his wife, Peter Glasser, I think it is, of Kremlin Rising, Vladimir Putin's Russia and the End of Revolution. And that's a Scribner publication. And we're going to be having a look at different snapshots of the US, particularly the Latino group and the African-American, the fascinating elements of change in those communities in the lead up to this very important US presidential election. So that's over the next few weeks.